You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hader ready again. Here it is. Swinging fly ball in the right center. Broxton is there. And they're the champions.
Some see what's brewing. Come see what the good times are.
Come see what the Brewers are doing. Come on and cheer a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it.
You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. You can find me on Twitter at Locked On Brewers is our show handle, and also at Cheesehead Talks with an S at the end, my personal Twitter handle, facebook.com as well, /Locked On Brewers to check us out there. And a 5-1 victory. The beat goes on. The Brewers have won 10 of 11, 13 of 16. They're on a roll, only three losses in September. And there's still a game back of the Cubs for that final wild card spot and three games back of the Cardinals for the NL Central Division because both of those clubs won last night. But the good news is they gained a game on the Washington Nationals and now are just a game and a half back of the Nationals. So everybody bunched up for those two wild card spots here between the Cubs, Nationals, and Brewers and the Cardinals in that picture as well. And so very exciting times. And the exciting times continue. It was a quick game last night, a brisk pace, you know, good. That's pretty good. Very good pitching by the Brewers to get it done and some timely hitting, timely two-out runners in scoring position hitting, which has been a factor certainly during this winning stretch for the Brewers and was something they really struggled with. If you listen to this podcast all summer with throughout most of the season, hitting with runners in scoring position, but that has picked up and some good hits last night, some timely hits last night. Corey Spangenberg, one of them, and Travis Shaw with a home run. Orlando Arcia, also a nice two-out base hit, actually a double to drive in a run, and the Brewers win 5-1. And again, looking pretty good. So we'll get into it. We'll do three up, three down. Christian Yelich also talked to the media. We'll talk about that and what he had to say because he met the media at Miller Park. And also a new all-star pitcher gets to start tonight. Right, Brandon Woodruff going to be back. They're going to start him. They thought initially or sort of the rumor was, the thought was that maybe he would get some innings in the middle of a game. But no, he's going to start. Now he'll be limited, but we'll talk about that as well and what we can expect from Brandon Woodruff going up against a real tough customer for the Padres tonight in Game 2 of the series. So it should be fun to see what the Brewers can do. Maybe a low-scoring game, maybe. That might be how they need to win this game tonight against the Padres. So we'll get into all of it in a minute. Tomorrow, Dr. Scott will join us. Why not today, you ask? Well, Dr. Scott, last night, when we would normally record the interview, was at the Cardinals-Nationals game. So we decided to go to St. Louis and take in a baseball game. That's what he told me anyway. So we'll talk to him on tomorrow's podcast and break down some of the analytics behind the Brewers in Tuesdays with Dr. Scott, the Wednesday edition. Which will be coming up on tomorrow's podcast. Vivid Seats is here for you. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100.
Three up, three down.
Okay, let's get into it. Three up, three down for the Brewers last night. Mostly ups, obviously. 5-1 win over the San Diego Padres, and the Brewers keep on rolling. After a very dramatic win on Sunday in St. Louis, the crew takes game one of this four-game series. The first up, Corey Spangenberg. He drives in three runs, including a clutch, a two-out, base hit, a double. Actually, it was a triple, I beg your pardon, that bounced up against the center field wall and got away from the outfielder. Drove in a pair of runs to give the Brewers a three-run lead. Corey Spangenberg coming up big, and it's, you know, it's nice to recognize him. One of my favorite things about the podcast this month is there's a new guy to recognize every day, and it's not just like he's having one good game here and there. Corey Spangenberg has played excellent defense at second base, and he's come up with some timely hits. He's not banging the ball around the park like Keston Hiura would, no, but he's been more than adequate as a replacement and a good spark for the Brewers a lot of times in the bottom part of that order. And so it's nice to recognize him after a big 3 RBI performance last night that sparked the Brewers to a win. And what do we talk about? You know, when Christian Yelich went down a week ago, that's going to take a village here. And since then, we've seen Moustakas, we've seen Braun, we've seen Spangenberg, you know, Thames. I mean, a lot of guys have come up and had some big hits to help this Brewer team win a lot of games. Only one loss since Yelich went down, and that's saying something, particularly since they went to St. Louis for three. So, not bad. Second up, Travis Shaw. I'm putting him in here because he hit a home run. He finally got a hit. And hit a home run last night to cushion the Brewers' lead. And I don't know. I'm done trying to figure out if something's going to spark Travis Shaw. It's been tough to watch all season. You feel terrible for the guy. Usually you see players, I feel like for the Brewers, every year somebody goes into a big-time slump that lasts either half or most of the season. But at some point, because they've been so good in the past, you see him snap out of it. And Travis Shaw just has not done that yet. Maybe this will help, but I'm not going to sit here and make any predictions. I don't even know if Travis Shaw is going to get any meaningful playing time besides a pinch hitting role here in September. But you know, it was nice to see him hit a ball, and he hit it hard last night. A line drive home run down that right field line. So I'm giving him an up in this game. A third up, Freddy Peralta, which I'm just focusing on Freddy, fastball Freddy, because he was so good last night. Really, really good in that game. And two innings, scoreless, held the Padres down while the Brewers built that lead in relief of Zach Davies. And he was excellent and got the Brewers into the late innings. On a night, of course, when Hader was down and Brent Suter was down, you could have maybe gone to a couple other guys, but they didn't really need to because they built a little bit of cushion and didn't use their main cogs out of that bullpen. And the key there was Freddy Peralta not letting the Padres back in the game in the sixth and seventh innings. So he was great, and the Brewers maybe figured out a little bit of a way to use him a little more effectively, giving him some rest between outings. We'll see. You know, I don't know if you can hold that up as a bullpen member the entire month, particularly when you get good Freddy. Good Freddy is unhittable. You know, good Freddy, maybe not unhittable, but very close, and we saw that last night. And so I get it. You want to try and figure out what that balance is, but I don't know if you can always give him 3 days off. You know, we'll see. And Craig Counsell and the Brewer staff certainly have a better idea about this. But, you know, if you're going to get two scoreless lights-out innings, if you hold them for three games, okay. Maybe that will work. The downs last night, not anything too serious. But the top three in the order were 0 for 11 with a walk and four strikeouts. So the Brewers' top of the order did not fare well. The bottom of the order was really good. But Trent Grisham 0 for 4, Yasmani Grandal 0 for 4. Where's the walk, Yas? A walk away from 100, and he couldn't even draw a walk. What is that? And Mike Moustakas 0 for 3. He got a walk. He had a walk. But Ryan Braunigan, two hits and two runs scored, so he continued to be hot after the Grand Slam on Sunday, and that started the second part of the order faring much better in getting those five runs home for the Brewers last night. Manny Machado showing his face at Miller Park is my second down. And maybe an up for the Brewers fans for, really being consistent on this one. You know, you're not messing around. You got three games to go in this series of just straight up booing Machado every time he comes to the bat, and you're not letting up. You're doing a great job. I mean, I must show respect. So Manny Machado did not kick anybody or try and take anybody out at first base last night, which is, real progress for that guy. Maybe he's in therapy. I don't know. Maybe he's working through his issues, whatever it might be. He did strike out twice, and the crowd loved that, as did I. So that was a lot of fun. The third down, the Cardinals and Cubs won. I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but Brewers, we're anxious here, right? We know there's only now 12 games left, but there were 13 entering last night. And you feel like if the Cardinals and Cubs win and you win, it doesn't feel as good. It doesn't feel like, hey, we're gaining ground. But these are obviously very, very important wins. And the Brewers are going to have to, keep pace. And that's really the main takeaway here is we've talked about, what the Brewers need to do in their final 13, now 12 games. Yesterday's podcast, do they need to win 10? Can they win 8? You feel like they're going to have to be somewhere between 8 and 10 wins, between 8 and 5 and 10 and 3. And 10 and 3, again, is asking a lot even with the competition they face. It's not easy, no matter who you're facing, because they're all big league clubs, maybe except for the Pirates, apparently. who the Brewers will face this weekend, and the Cubs absolutely destroyed as though they were facing a independent league team or, you know, single A team at Wrigley Field this past weekend. But, you know, they're going to have the Pirates maybe give you a little bit of a break, but this Padres club is not terrible. You know, they're not great. They're last in the West, but they're not terrible. And the Reds aren't terrible. They have to go to Cincinnati. And maybe the Rockies aren't very good at all in the final three games of the season, but they have to play at Coors Field, which is not easy. So that's what you have in front of you. And keeping pace, trying to sort of tread water, keep with the you know deficit you have, one game back of the Cubs and three back of the Cardinals, until those teams play each other, which will give you a chance to make ground on one of them every single night, which is awesome. That's the beautiful way this schedule sets up for the Brewers. And look, it's not all bad that Cardinals and Cubs won, because the Cardinals beat the Nationals, and now the Brewers gain, you know, ground in that wild card race. I mean, there's a lot of possibility here for the Brewers if they can win between 8 and 10 games here of this final 13, now 7 and 9 games left to win on the season, and get to that 88 to 90 win mark. You know, if they can do that, there's a potential they could win the division. There's a potential they could host a wild card game. And, of course, the potential of just making the playoffs for the second straight year and traveling to wherever your wild card destination would be. But they might be able to host a wild card game, you know, which would be fantastic, right? That'd be very thrilling, I think. And after a red-hot September, which this would have been if the Brewers make the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of excitement at Miller Park for that event, as much as I really can't stand the format of the playoffs. You know, you put that aside and you go nuts and cheer like crazy for the Brewers in a game like that, particularly if it's against the Cubs. Think about that. So we'll have more time to dwell on that possibility over the final couple weeks of the season here. So we'll talk more about it, but, you know, again, not all bad, obviously, that the Cubs and Cardinals won, because the Cardinals beat the Nationals, and that opens up that possibility more and more for the Brewers here. We will talk more coming up about Christian Yelich. He did speak to the media and revealed kind of what he was feeling the night of the fractured kneecap and then since. And we'll also preview game two of the series, Brandon Woodruff on the hill for the Brewers. How cool is that? But Chris Paddock, a very, very tough customer for the Padres. So we'll see if the Brewers can, again, hold the Padres offense down and maybe win a low-scoring game. That's what you think might happen, but you never know in baseball. So we'll preview that coming up next. You're Locked On Brewers. We live in a world today where you can't always run to the store, particularly if you're like me and you have all these kids and you're doing a podcast and you have a job and, you know, you're just a busy guy. And your wife, super busy. She's got a job too. She's got the same kids you do, hopefully. And she's trying to manage everything. Well, delivery has become a huge part of the lifestyle of a lot of people. And Postmates is a place where you can go to get it done. They're your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They are the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. They are 24/7, and they bring you what you need within the hour. No more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the store is. Postmates will deliver anything to you. So download the app for iOS and Android for free. Browse local restaurants and businesses and track your delivery in real time. Now, for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Download Postmates and save with code LOCKEDON. Can't find a workout that keeps you engaged? Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started. Well, Christian Yelich spoke to the media at Miller Park. He was in Milwaukee, of course, all through and after getting his kneecap busted on a foul ball in Miami. Flew to Milwaukee the next day to get some x-rays and hear the news from the doctors. Probably, and not even probably, definitely the best possible news he could have heard last week, and gave all of us a sigh of relief when it was learned that he will not have to have surgery, not potentially have to miss you know, into next season, or maybe a huge chunk of next season, or best case scenario misses off-season workouts, which can affect somebody going into the next season. It's just going to be, 2 to 3 months of a recovery here. He'll be immobilized with that knee for 8 to 10 weeks, which is a long time, I'm sure, if you have to go through it, but certainly not the end of the world. And he was able to speak to the media yesterday at Miller Park, and so he had to stand in the press room because he hurt too much to sit. So I don't know, that's got to be tough, you know, if you've ever been through something where you had a cast on, where you were just very uncomfortable, you know, and it can happen anywhere. If your collarbone is broken, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I know I've heard him talk about how uncomfortable he was for several weeks, even a couple months, in breaking that collarbone and not being able to lay down certain ways, and just very uncomfortable. And, you know, you'd think it'd be okay with a knee that you could figure it out, but since it has to be immobilized, it's just a lot of awkwardness. And so Yelich dealing with that, there are pictures of him on crutches yesterday, but, you know, talking to the media and talking about how, you know, he's got a good perspective. This is sports, and things happen in sports. And if you're going to be active with your body all the time and playing sports, you're going to get hurt from time to time. And this is the first time he's ever been hurt like this. The first time he's ever broken a bone. So it's, you know, kind of jarring in that sense, but he was in good spirits. I thought it was interesting. He said that in the locker, in the clubhouse that night in Miami last week, he had a pity party for himself and then got over it. And then I saw this on Twitter. I don't even really know the full context, but apparently there was an ESPN headline, mobile headline that basically made that, the pity party quote, the point of the headline. You know, Yelich has a pity party. And Christian Yelich retweeted it and said, thanks for taking my quote out of context. So good for him for calling it out. Because, man, that gets annoying. And it happens all the time in all types of media. Sports, political, news, whatever it is. Because of clickbait, you know, things are taken way out of context. Even the headline is taken out of context. And if you read the story, it doesn't have much to do with the headline at all. But the damage is always done because people only read headlines. And I'm guilty of that as well. Just too much information coming at you all the time to read every story and read deep into every story. So maybe I'll read a paragraph, but that never does it justice either. And so this is the world we live in. Okay. Just thought I'd make a commentary on our times based on Christian Yelich's pity party comment. So something to think about. And that's the public service we provide here with Locked On Brewers. Speaking of guys who could add a pity party, Brandon Woodruff strained his oblique way back. What was that, July? I mean, it was a long time ago, right? And he hasn't had a start since then. It's been a couple of months for Woodruff, and he's going to get the start tonight. And what's interesting is how many pitches for Woodruff. Is 60 too much to ask for? You know, I don't know. The Brewers wouldn't reveal how many pitches they're going to limit Woodruff to, so we don't know what the pitch count is. And that makes sense, because why give that information away to the Padres, right? Why let them know at this point? But could you get 3 innings out of Brandon Woodruff? It's going to go Woodruff, then Gio Gonzalez. That's not bad. I mean, you know, Gio is going to give you 3 solid innings, so you could get through 6 if that's the case. Maybe 4 for Gio Gonzalez. But really, the concern here is the Brewers are going to have to hold the Padres down tonight, most likely. Because if Chris Paddock is himself, and he's been on the last 3 games, really on, the Brewers aren't going to get much. He's 9-7 this year. His ERA at 3.38, I beg your pardon. In the last 3 starts, he has been lights out. 1 earned run in 18 and a third innings of work, including 6 shutout against the Cubs in San Diego last time out, when the Padres certainly helped the Brewers out by beating the Cubs a couple of times. Paddock was a big reason behind one of those wins. And so, you know, Milwaukee's going to have to get, maybe scratch across a run or two against this guy and hope that at Woodruff and then Gio Gonzalez can hold the Padres to that much or a little bit less and try and win that way. That's what you think. Now, you never know. Sometimes a guy will blow up and, you know, you can get to him, or you can have a fluke inning where you push across 2-3 runs. He might be due for something like that after having only allowed 1 earned in 18 and a third innings. But it's not going to be easy tonight, most likely. At least the stuff the Brewers face is not going to be too easy. And Brandon Woodruff, you know, probably the first inning, very key. Can he have a crisp inning where he can get in and out of there in 15 pitches, you know, and retire the Padres and get into a little rhythm where maybe he can go 3, maybe even 4, depending on his pitch count? That'll be a big factor in the game. And who knows? Maybe I'm way off. Maybe Council's thinking no more than two innings and no more than 40 pitches or something like that. Who knows? We just don't know at this point. But it'll be exciting to see Woody back on the hill. All-star. He was pitching so well when he strained the oblique. And it's really something to look at what's transpired since then. Jordan Lyles, you know, obviously Adrian Hauser coming through for the Brewers. All of that has transpired since Woodruff's injury. No Chacin. I mean, it's a totally different, you know, starting pitching staff for the Brewers. And so it'll be nice to see Woody back on the hill tonight. Brewers figure they can get about three outings out of him before potentially the playoffs. And so will they be able to stretch him out enough to where he can get to a point where, you know, we can go four, five, six innings? You would think so, but it does take a little time. And if the Brewers make the playoffs, they're going to need Brandon Woodruff in the type of form he had, you know, before he was hurt. So that's ideal. That's what they're shooting for. That's what you'd love to see. That's what everybody would love to see. So I'm excited to check him out and see what he can do in his first start back tonight. And so that'll be the game. We'll talk about it tomorrow, of course. And allegedly we'll have Dr. Scott on, to Brewers sabermetrics genius, to talk about the Brewers and some sabermetrics angles about this incredible winning trend, not streak, I guess, but trend they've been on all through the month of September. So we'll break that down tomorrow, and looking forward to it. Hopefully another win to talk about for the Brewers at Miller Park on tomorrow's podcast. You can always find me on Twitter at CheeseheadTalks with an S at the end, or at Locked On Brewers. Also, Facebook.com/Locked On Brewers. Please rate and review the podcast. Tell a friend. We're in the stretch drive. You can get the Brewers fix every single day right here on Locked On Brewers. So thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, Stitcher, too. We're everywhere. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Brewers. I'm Ben Larson. I'll talk to you tomorrow, and we deliver your daily Brewers fix right here on Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.